Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, sitting across from Scott and I is Kevin from Mask Republic. Kevin, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
I have to say, this is our very first live interview. We have never actually done an interview with someone in the room. So this is kind of special for Scott and I, and you should feel honored.
I do. I am absolutely honored. Thank you for welcoming me into your humble abode.
It's an interesting humble abode, isn't it?
I do notice that it is not just a gimmick because there are a ton of wrestling figures and other figures on display. So
wait till you see
these guys are real.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin. Before we started talking, you were mentioning that you have a very interesting background in wrestling overall. Would you mind getting into that?
Well, it's been 25 years, so I'll try to summarize it all. I started working in wrestling when I was like 16 years old for a small, very very small local independent promotion in Los Angeles called Slammers Wrestling Federation that led to forming a small company called Southern California Championship Wrestling with Dynamite D, who came from Slammers and was part of XPW, and a referee named Patrick Hernandez, and other people like Ed Ferreira, who went on to be writer in WWE, and a number of other kind of Southern California known wrestlers. That ended up in a weird way parlaying into a little known company called XPW, which ran California and national television and DVDs and whatnot for about 5 years. And after XPW, the XPW library and assets were purchased by a company called Extreme Entertainment Group, which then split into Extreme Entertainment Group and a company called Big Vision Entertainment. I ended up going to work for Big Vision Entertainment, and we ended up building the largest wrestling library of DVDs outside of WWE. So if you walked into a Best Buy or Fry's and you went to the wrestling section, it was like WWE and Big Vision, and we put out a ton of independent wrestling DVDs. And then Houston Curtis, who was the owner of Big Vision and had been a former executive at MTV, ended up having a pitch at MTV for a poker show that he wanted to do, and I had thrown out the idea of pitching a wrestling related show as well, and that ended up becoming Wrestling Society X. So we did that for even though it only aired for like 5 weeks, it was like a year of our lives, which was a great year, don't get me wrong. I would still do it all over again. And Wrestling Society X led to, so Masked Republic was already a thing before I got involved. My business partner in Masked Republic now, Ruben Zamora, he was a local promoter in San Diego, and Masked Republic itself was actually a company making masks and gear for wrestlers. Psychosis, and then also non-lucha guys. They did the gear for Adam Pearce and X-Pac and shin guards for Bryan Danielson. And when I started working with Ruben and we put together a television pilot that we did through Big Vision called Viva La Lucha, when we started working together after, I was like, we got to keep this name. Like, Masked Republic is just too good of a name for us to change. So we kept Masked Republic, and it's been now about 10 years of really expanding Masked Republic and trying to create this multi-platform entertainment company that everything is based in Lucha Libre, but much more than just doing live Lucha Libre events.
And you guys also have comics on your website.
We do.
Or as you guys say, a Luchaverse.
Yes, yes. One of our bigger projects right now is the Luchaverse, which is a comic book universe, a comic book world that is shared amongst a number of star and known luchadors. We have a Rey Mysterio series a Tenia Bliss Jr. series, a Lucha Brothers series with Pentagon and Phoenix, a Conan series, and a Los Cadetes del Espacio, which is Solar and Super Astro. Mm-hmm. And so what we've done so far, we launched it at San Diego Comic-Con last year, 2018. And we've released five one-shots, which are basically issue number one of these series. And together, we kind of call that the prelude arc of the Luchaverse, just kind of laying the groundwork, a little bit of story world building, but not giving too much away, but kind of planting some seeds as to how things may be interconnected. And we just last week, or a week and a half ago, released the complete collection as a trade paperback or a hardcover. So if you go to theluchaverse.com, you can find the individual issues, but you can also find the paperback or hardcover that combines all five of them together. And it's really no secret that our goal with this is to develop it for television and film, hopefully, and that's where the Luchaverse is.
And then you also have Pentagon and Phoenix in their own comics, the Lucha Bros comic. One of them actually sold out on your website too.
Yeah, we so the Rey Mysterio one, which is the first one we released, is almost sold out in the original cover, the regular cover. The Lucha Brothers regular cover sold out quite some time ago. We still have some of the variant covers by a few different well-known Mexican artists. And then we've got the other three available. Or, like I said, the collection is now available as well. And if you're listening from Mexico, you can get the comics now from the magazine Kamikaze. As of yesterday, they are now stocking these comics for our fans in Mexico, and we'll be bringing them to conventions and other places you can find books across Mexico.
Kevin, first off, I want to congratulate you on your accent and the way you pronounce these guys' names. I'm hoping afterwards you can give Jeff notes. He tends to have problems during this episode. For example, El Hijo del Santo. I'm sure you heard of this. Yes.
It's important for me in my line of work to make sure I'm getting it right. But I have a weekly segment I do on Conan's podcast, Keeping It 100 with Conan. And without a doubt, at least once or twice a month, I will get kazooed by Conan for butchering the Spanish language. So I try. The words that I say over and over, I've got the names are important. But every now and then, I will disrespect unintentionally a word in Spanish.
Chris from Figures Toy Company is on there often. Do you guys ever interact?
Chris from Figures Toy Company is great. I love working with Chris. We've done a couple different deals with Figures Toy Company for a Conan figure and a Juventud Guerrera figure that were part of Master Public negotiating these deals for them. Then there's kind of been a running gag on the podcast that Disco Inferno, who is Conan's co-host, is not popular enough to get a figure from Figures Toy Company.
Ouch.
The reality of it is they actually did want to do a figure, but the chain of copyright of the name Disco Inferno is kind of one of those weird up in the air things based on the fact that like WCW had it, but was it ever really fully a trademark, and did WWE even acquire it, and do they care? And so that's the main reason there hasn't been a actual Disco figure from Figures Toy Company yet. Hopefully one day there will be. Or at least a Glenn Gilbernetti figure that happens to just
that might be
look
easier.
Yeah. I believe that is the name he's been using on Impact when he wrestles on Impact, mm-hmm. or appears on Impact over the last couple of years. So yeah. But no, Chris is great. I appreciate Chris and his love not only of the entire wrestling figure universe, but his love for Saved by the Bell as well.
Yes. He's well known for that, yes.
Before we get into the meat and potatoes of the interview, which are obviously the figures, you also have a clothing line that you offer through Mastery Public.
So there's actually a few different. So one of the major, I guess, components of Mastery Public at this point is our Legends of Lucha Libre brand, which is the kind of licensing arm for luchadors that want to have officially licensed products. So we started this a couple years ago, and unlike with WWE, where if you're a WWE wrestler, then they, you know, own and control and do all of your licensing and merchandising, and you're going to get your toy through them and your t-shirts through them, etc. That isn't how the Lucha Libre world has really worked. A lot of the guys in Lucha Libre, they own their own rights, their own likeness, even if they're wrestling for a CMLL or AAA, or they're just, you know, a legend that is like a Solar or a Super Astro who maybe makes appearances now and then. All these luchadors own and control their own name and likeness and mask. And so what we did was we created basically like a NFL Players Association of Lucha Libre called Legends of Lucha Libre. And now we go out and we represent and try to develop merchandise for these luchadors and luchadores. And which is how we get into toys in a minute. But so we have a number of different merchandise lines and apparel lines, including, you know, our going to Pro Wrestling Tees and finding Master Republic on Pro Wrestling Tees, or Master Republic shirts at amazon.com/Master Republic. But one of the newest things as of today when we're recording this is that we have teamed with Pentagon and Phoenix to launch Lucha Brothers brand, which is not a wrestling brand. It is kind of like Diddy has Sean John, or had Sean John, and Travis Barker of Blink 182 and all his other bands has Famous Stars and Straps. It is their clothing line that is a streetwear line and is a kind of fashion line, so to speak. But you won't be seeing their masks or their faces on these items. You might see art that's inspired by their characters, but this is more of kind of a streetwear line. The plan is that two items will be released each month, and that's it. So the Lucha Brothers icon logo on a t-shirt, and then a really cool jacket that has the icon on the front and art by an artist named Urban Aztec on the back, just dropped today. And those will be available for the month of October. And then come November 1st, there will be two new items and designs that will be available, and they'll only be available for that month. So people can check out luchabrothersbrand.com and see what's available there. It is the jackets that Penta and Phoenix wore last week on AEW. So if you saw that really cool looking satin baseball style jacket, that's what I'm talking about.
And you guys just sold out of it.
We did. Actually,
that is a good thing.
Yes. As of my car ride over here, I did notice that the very last one sold. So the jacket is sold out, but unlike the t-shirts, which we will not print after a given month, the jacket, due to popular demand, looks like it will already get restocked sometime in the near future, because we had done a pre-order or a pre-access code where if people were already following Penta and Phoenix on social media, they might have seen the messaging to ask for a pre-access code. And even before today, I think we only had a few left because people snatched them up during the pre-access phase. So we're excited about that. It's not bad to have a sellout the first day.
That is great to hear. Now, switching up to figures, you guys worked with Super 7 on the Reaction Lucha Libre figures. How did that go down between you and Super 7?
So it's funny because we have a agency that we work with for Legends of Lucha Libre called Firefly Brand Management, and they are our licensing agent. So we work with to go out and make deals like the toy deals we have now, and other types of products, our Halloween costumes or other related things that we've released. But Super 7 was actually, before we signed on with these agents, I was just literally looking for how can we get into the licensed products world? How can we start doing toys? How can we start doing things like that? And I guess it's lucky that I'm based here in the Bay Area and Super 7 is based here in the Bay Area. I had reached out to Super 7, maybe on Facebook, some social media platform. I had reached out to them. And at the time, 4 years ago now, Super 7 was a very small company. Mm-hmm. It had like, I don't know, a handful of employees and a handful of licensees. They were mostly doing Masters of the Universe, and I think they had like Mega Man and Alien, and they were doing muscle figures, and that's really what attracted me to them at first. But then they also have the Reaction line based off the original 1970s Star Wars figures, and so I reached out and I ended up going and meeting with Brian Flynn, the owner, and a few of the other people there at Super 7, and they liked the idea of doing a lucha line, and they specifically, their vision for it, because the reaction figures and the muscles were all about being retro, they wanted to focus on the older classic luchadors. So we did Solar and Blue Demon Jr. and Tenea Bliss Jr. And we also, for Solar and Blue Demon, we did the suit variant as well. So in that classic lucha fashion, you can get them both in their ring gear or in their suit and tie and mask. So the toy process is a long process. I think it took from contract signing to release, it was a good, I think, year and a half for the muscle figures and then 2 years almost for the reaction figures. And by that point, Super 7 had blown up. And even more, even in the year since we started releasing that stuff, Super 7 is, now they've got, you know, chief marketing officers, and they've got a deal with MLB for retro baseball figures, and they've got a slew of other brands and properties, and
they're almost becoming like Funko.
Yeah, they are, and it's great to see. I really love the crew over there. They're very creative, very passionate. I mean, their whole motto is very much kind of what led to Mask Republic being what it is now, and their whole thing is basically, nobody else was making the stuff we wanted, so we decided that we would go out and we would make it. And I really admire their kind of vision and spirit over there. So that's how that came about. And then shortly after we signed that deal is when we signed the deal with Firefly Brand Management, and they've been handling kind of all of our deals for Legends of Lucha Libre since then.
When did the talks with Boss Fight start up?
So I am so happy to be with Boss Fight right now. But I don't think it's a surprise, and I said it to them too, that when their name was first brought to me, I hadn't heard of them. So one of the great advantages of having our licensing agents is that they go to all of the conventions and all of the different shows to meet with people and try to find licensees. They also represent a number of other brands, including Bob Ross, which is just a ginormous brand these days.
Yes.
So that Bob Ross name gets in the door a lot of places. But so it was a toy fair this past February in New York that our agents went, and then Pamela is one of our agents. She came back from toy fair and kind of downloaded me on all the different people they had met with, and she said that there was a company called Boss Fight that was interested in talking with us about doing figures. So I looked them up. Even at the time, they've announced a number of licensees over the last couple years, but they hadn't really had anything that was licensed at that point. They were doing a line that they called the, I might mess up the name, I can say Spanish, but I might mess this up. I think it's called the Vitruvian Hacks. And the Hacks, H-A-C-K-S, stands for something, but essentially it's these kind of fantasy adventure, that's how they started, kind of make your own figure kit. So you can combine these arms and these legs and these horns and these whatever, and you can create these really cool, I think it's 4-inch scale figures. But what hooked me was everybody who works there came from Hasbro. And immediately reading the backgrounds that these people worked on Transformers and G.I. Joe and all these major these lines, and then finding out that Eric, who's our main person that we work with on a daily basis, and one of the other people there were big wrestling fans and had an appreciation not just for wrestling but for Lucha Libre. It was like a match made in heaven. And so we signed a deal, and just the dedication that they had to creating what will absolutely be the best Lucha Libre figures ever made. And at this point, I would say that there is a chance that these will be the best wrestling figures ever made.
Wow. I like the confidence, I gotta say.
Yeah. I mean, and the only reason I say there's a chance is that I am not a wrestling figures expert. Like, I've collected some throughout the years. When I was a kid, I had some, and throughout time, it's been more like if a friend of mine has a figure, like I have the TJP figure because he's a friend of mine, or someone that was on Wrestling Society X, or you know, I'll buy those. Like, I have a Seth Rollins figure. I like collecting the figures of the people who, you know, have passed through one of my projects or whatever. But I don't know enough about like the Mattel elites to tell you for sure these are going to be better than, but I will tell you they're definitely going to be on par with. There's no doubt in my mind. And the other thing I think that's so cool right now too is that there's this camaraderie in the toy business where Super 7, Mattel, Boss Fight, everybody is like at Expo Lucha, which is our annual convention that we started last year in Vegas. This year in San Diego, we had Super 7 there, Boss Fight there. Bill from Mattel was there just as a fan, like attending, and everyone got to kind of get together and talk about the toys and talk about what's exciting them about toys. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, this might be a little bit of a spoiler here, next year at Expo Lucha, which we're going to be doing in Philadelphia at the former ECW Arena, August 15th and 16th, I'm hoping that we end up with a toy panel that will have somebody from Boss Fight, somebody from Super 7, somebody from Mattel to talk specifically about not only our Master Public product, but the luchadors in the Mattel lines and stuff. And so we're going to try to pull that off. We'll see if it'll happen.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, because it's just, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan and figure collector.
Thank you. I say that every week and I kind of get flack for it because I repeat myself, but thank you. That's exactly what I've been saying. And competition makes things better.
It's going to get better too because, as I'm sure you guys have discussed on the podcast, now, so our figures from Boss Fight, so we have a number of different products that are actually coming out, but the first thing that we're releasing, which is what we're calling the collector's line, which is essentially these kind of Mattel Elite level figures, they're being done on the 6-inch scale, so they'll basically be comparable to, put them next to, put them against your WWE figures.
Is that why you put them in that scale?
So all those decisions were made by the Boss Fight team and okay. their expertise. But yes, I think that was the decision behind it, was that, you know, you'd be able to kind of have them and have your dream matchups and have your collection looking uniform across the shelf. And now Super 7 is going to be putting out the New Japan figures in the same scale. So everybody's creating these great products all across the wrestling landscape. And they're all going to be on the scale. And our accessory packs that are coming out, we have two accessory packs coming out that are going to include like the first ever dog collar chain
yes.
set for figures and a bunch of other cool stuff. Those, because they're going to be for the 6-inch scale, will be potentially usable across your WWE figures and your New Japan figures and everything else. So if you want to have a Kalisto versus Pentagon dog collar chain match, you'll be able to have that.
I love it. And so did the inspiration for the dog collar, because I went crazy when I found out you guys were making a dog collar and a chain. That was just fantastic. Did the inspiration come from the Piper and Valentine match?
No, actually, so we're trying to keep everything, you know, within the kind of what you would normally see and experience in the Lucha Libre world. And in Mexico, they're actually called bull terrier matches. But that's what they are. They're dog collar chain matches. And they're not, I mean, I guess a dog collar chain match isn't very common these days in any wrestling.
Not at all.
But I'd say, you know, every now and then you do, especially AAA will bring it out every now and then, you know, a bull terrier match to help kind of settle a feud that's built to that. So that's where it came from. And we're calling the sets like, I think we might even be calling that set I don't remember off the top of my head. But there's like a Lucha Extrema set, because basically their no DQ hardcore match in Lucha Libre is called Lucha Extrema. And then the other set, which I'm blanking off the top of my head. Sorry, Eric. it's also directly tied into something that you would hear in Lucha Libre.
So the guys over at Boss Fight that used to work at Hasbro, have you talked to them about the old Hasbro figures out of curiosity?
No, we haven't. We just haven't had the time yet to dive into that. But like I said, you guys should have Eric Aranya from Boss Fight on at some point. He can, I'm sure, talk past, present, and future.
We'd love to.
Yeah, we would absolutely love to have Eric on. So you guys partner with Boss Fight. How soon after did you start to break down which figures were going to be in which waves? How did that all come to be? Did they put in their 2 cents and then you guys put in your 2 cents? Or did you guys know wave one had to be the Lucha Bros?
Yeah, I think it was a given that Wave 1 had to be the Lucha Bros because nobody's ever done a Penta or Phoenix figure before.
Correct.
And so that was just kind of a given that we were gonna do that first. But all the decisions about kind of how the waves are coming out and what it is that's going to come out, like the collector series, are right now the plan is that each wave will be two figures. So we've already announced that Penta and Phoenix will be first. Second is going to be Conan and Lady Maravilla.
Mm-hmm.
And Conan's going to be the classic mask Conan. And all the figures come with, all the collector's figures come with two heads and two sets of hands. So if the guy is masked, there'll probably be a variant on the mask. Like with Penta, one of them is going to have a half-rip mask.
Oh, awesome. Which is nice.
Really cool.
There goes one of my questions. I was going to ask if there were any rip masks. Because those are pretty popular when we get questions sometimes. People are like, oh, do we get like a quote-unquote battle-damaged figure?
Yep.
So that'll be great to see.
I think the Phoenix one is just a different expression, but the mask will be a different colorway. So we'll definitely be keeping stuff like that in mind in the future. Third wave is Tinieblas Jr. and Laredo Kid. And so that's for the collector's line. I think we've already announced, or it was announced not that long ago, I think maybe at the ForceCon in Mexico, we are coming out with a lower priced line that will be kind of akin to the WWE Basics line.
Okay.
I don't know price point yet for that, but that'll be kind of more for the regular fan and not the one that's going to spend the, you know, $35-$40 on the elite type of figure.
And that'll have more figures in the assortment?
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know exactly how many waves. I don't know how many are going to be in each wave yet. I would expect that there would potentially be more figures, or at least the frequency of the releases will be greater, because, you know, it's not going to have quite as much articulation. It'll still be a fully articulated figure, but it's not going to have quite as much articulation. It won't have the two heads, the two hands, etc. So that will be coming out. And then we've also got the more kind of collectibles that aren't necessarily your full-size action figures. One that I'm super excited about, and when Eric presented the idea, my first thing was like, how has nobody done this before? And more importantly, how did I not come up with this idea? We're going to do blind boxes of little masks. So they'll be called mini mascaras. And it's going to be like a 3-inch little bust. So you'll have your display bust for the mask, and then the little, I don't know the exact material, but basically a soft rubber mask that will go over the bust. And there'll be chase variants and different things of the masks. So we already announced the first wave of those, six. It'll be six in that wave, plus the variants. And then we're doing mini figures, which are going to be, For people listening, I would say the closest thing that you could probably just compare them to without being super specific is like the Loyal Subjects kind of size of figures. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be about 3 inches.
And they'll be posable as well?
They'll be posable. And I'm going to share with you.
Oh, we're getting an exclusive guys.
You are getting exclusive.
Wait, we're getting exclusive?
This is the look. We have not shown these to anybody yet. They're both double-sided.
Hear the papers rustling. I'm excited.
They will not only be posable, but they will also come with an accessory. Penta is going to come with a little light tube, and Tenablis is going to come with a little Aluche. So in real life, Tenablis is about 6'2", 6'3", I think, and Aluche is about 3 feet tall, maybe. So he's going to come with a mini, not quite to scale, but Aluche. Lady Maravilla is going to come with a championship belt, and Phoenix is going to come with a championship belt. These are going to be unique belts that are created for Legends of Lucha Libre line from Boss Fight, and then Conan will come with a chair, but I will slide those over to you guys so you can see. The other thing, I don't know.
Those are adorable, by the way.
I think those are going to be, there was debate back and forth originally about blind box, not blind box, but these will be window box. So
they are going to be windows. Are you going to do some that have a black front where you can't see the figure, or?
I will go and refer you back to Eric on that
gotcha.
One.
Okay.
Not
okay.
sure yet. I don't know if you guys have, I'm sure you've seen, but a lot of people, when they saw the Phoenix figure that we released at, we showed the first fully painted mock-up of at, or prototype of at Expo Lucha, a lot of people looked at that and they were like, that face is amazing. That mask is amazing. And this goes back to like why I'm so happy to be with Boss Fight and with people that both understand toys and figures and Lucha Libre, is that in order to get the masks right, these masks aren't single pieces. Like, you as a consumer won't be able to take them apart, but these masks are being built in like three layers of like plastic piece on top of plastic piece on top of plastic piece.
Wow.
So that you can really get the depth and the kind of different levels of the mask. And I think if you see, because those usually don't get seen by the public, but the, these exploded views of how the figures actually come together and where they're going to be articulated and how the pieces are actually used to make them, you can see there too that even on these mini figures, they're going to have this level of articulation and of detail that I don't think you're seeing anywhere else right now.
How do you come up with the masks? Is somebody sculpting those, or do you use like a scanning technology?
No, so these are, and I could be wrong, but I believe the process that they use is they're coming up with a 3D model first. And so I'm looking, so they'll make the 3D model computer generated. They'll send it to me. We'll go back and forth. We'll show it to the luchador, get their approval, their sign off. And then from there, they do a 3D printed version of it. Like in Mexico a couple weeks ago, they showed off the 3D printed version of Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
I asked what it would cost for me to get a copy of that, like just to have on my desk, and he told me they're like $300-$400 each.
Whoa.
I wow. said, okay, never mind. I don't need that one. And then from there, I'm guessing at some point then it goes to the mold and you move forward. But we haven't gotten to that phase yet, and this is my first time going through toy making, so
gotcha.
I'm not quite sure yet. But then I know that like once that prototypes come in, or the prototype comes in or whatever, these initial ones are hand painted to get all the colors and looks right and everything. And then once that's done, obviously whatever your, you know, formal made overseas toy process is to get that done will happen. But and this is all part of why it's a long process. I mean, like we talked about, we first started talking with them last February, or earlier this year, February 2019. We probably had the contract done a month or so later, so let's say April 2019, and we've known since then that the first figures wouldn't come out until summer 2020.
Is that still the target date?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. We're saying summer because don't know exactly what month.
Okay, gotcha.
But summer 2020 would be wave one of everything. So
okay.
Penton Phoenix, the six mini masks, the six mini figures, and the two accessory sets.
Okay, gotcha. And to go back a little bit, you mentioned the reaction to Phoenix's figure. When people saw it, they said how amazing the sculpt was on it. What was Phoenix's reaction to that figure?
We actually have it on video on the either the, I think it's on the Legends of Lucha Libre site and on Facebook. It's definitely on the Master Public one. I probably actually have it on my cell phone. It's incredible. It's funny too though, because so at Expo Lucha, we had the Boss Fight booth, and then next to the Boss Fight booth was a company called Pixbrix, which is another one of our licensing partners, which is they basically created their own system of building blocks, so Lego-like, but they're not Legos. They have some unique elements to them that allows you to kind of stack them and build them in different ways and make more kind of 3D models than you can with like your basic Legos. So we have there's a Penta one available, a Phoenix one available, and a Solar one available. If you want to look those up, it's Pix, P-I-X-Brix, B-R-I-X.com. So those are super cool. And then after that, we had the Lucha Brothers had their own booth. And so we were getting Penton Phoenix to come over to the Boss Fight booth to do the toy reveal to him. And first, he gets distracted by the Pixbrix booth. He's like, oh my God, this is so cool. So he goes over, he takes some pictures, he looks at the stuff. The Pixbrix guys had done an incredible job. They basically went on Google and they found every mask variant of Penta and Phoenix and Solar as they could, and they built them of those. So you had like 15 Pentas and 15 Phoenixes and 15 Solars, all with wow. different masks. It was very cool. And then So he came over to the booth and we did the whole little reveal, and he just like, I think he literally just goes, wow.
Jaw on the floor.
Yeah.
It was a good video.
And it was funny too, because the figure was just the first model. And basically to paint it right, they kind of have to pull it apart and then put it back together. And so it had like this whole do not touch, you know, don't even look at this the wrong way or make it fall apart thing.
Yeah.
And so they had picked it up to kind of show it to him, and he grabbed it and like, they like held their breath that like nothing was gonna happen, but nothing happened. But no, they were super super blown away by it. And now, you know, we've showed, so far we've only had the 3D model photos to show Penta, but he's super stoked about his as well.
That's awesome. And to kind of double back also on accessories you were talking about that are going to come with some of the figures. Super excited about the dog collar and chain, but are there going to be any title belts that come with the figures?
There will be. Yeah, like I said, we're developing our own original Legends of Lucha Libre belt that will be coming with some of the figures. So I don't remember off the top of my head which ones are necessarily coming with figures as their accessory, but there absolutely will be built.
So also kind of doubling back, was there ever any talk of not doing an elite scale type figure? Because we've had a bunch of different wrestling figures throughout the past. LJNs were just big rubber figures and Hasbros were these little miniature guys. Was there ever talk of doing something different other than elite, or did you guys want to keep it uniformed to kind of scale with the elite so people can have their dream matches?
Well, so again, so when it comes to, from Mass Republic's perspective, we, up until Boss Fight specifically, it was about us going out and making different types of deals for different specific things. Like, for example, we had the Conan and the Hoovie with Figures Toy Company, which was one very specific size and kind of scale, even down to like how articulated it was. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Super 7 and retained rights for all other types of figures and sizes, and went to Super 7 and we made a deal for the reaction figures and the muscles. And with the understanding that those figures, we wouldn't do another 3.5 inch or whatever the scale is in the reaction, figure of Solar or Demon or Tenebris, you know, in that basically size and scale while we were under the Super 7 deal. Same with the muscles. But we retained every other right for every other type of figure. So when it came to Boss Fight, it's really been a matter of I'm letting the experts make those decisions there. If something throws up a red flag to me about something, certainly we'll speak up. We have to protect our brand. We have to protect the luchadors. But everything that they've been suggesting and throwing at us and showing us, we've just been blown away by. Certainly trust there. You know, our hope with this line is that it's going to, I always say that Lucha Libre, we're dealing with what I kind of call the golden triangle of consumers. It's not just wrestling fans. Wrestling fans is a portion of that. It's one of the points on that triangle. But you've also got a Hispanic consumer who, if you go into Target or you go into wherever you buy your toys these days, there are not a lot of toys on the shelf that specifically speak to a Hispanic consumer or Latino superheroes and things like that. And, you know, Ruben always says, and when he grew up, he didn't read comic books. Batman and Superman weren't his superheroes. His superheroes were the luchadors. Mm-hmm. You know, they had the masks, they had the capes, and he could go to an arena and he can see them and reach out and touch them. And the way that they wrestled in the ring was, you know, flying out of the ring. Like, that was his superhero. And so we look at that fan base as well, and how do we deliver authentic Hispanic heroes to an audience that does not have toys that cater to them. And then there's also just the pop culture aspect of Lucha Libre, where, you know, somebody who would never buy a WWE figure to have on their desk at work, they might very well pick up a masked wrestler, even if they don't know exactly who the wrestler is or their background or their story, they might pick up the figure. It's funny because, you know, a lot of times I go in a room for a meeting and I'm this white guy and they're like, wait, you're the Lucha Libre guy? And like, I went out to dinner the other day with my wife. We were at a California Pizza Kitchen and I'm wearing a Tenebris Jr. shirt. And the waiter, who is Hispanic, says to me, "Oh, that guy in your shirt, you know, that's Tenables Jr." Like, I had no idea who he was. And I just thought it was pretty funny. But there's this entire, you know, pop culture aspect. You know, I don't know if you guys are familiar at all with, like, Lucha Vavoom, which does
Southern California.
In L.A. You know, so you go to a wrestling show in L.A., a regular wrestling show, or go to a bunch of wrestling shows. You go to PCW, you go to PWG, you go to Santino Brothers, whatever. You're going to see the same fans over and over and over again. Right. Yes, they each have kind of a distinct audience. Some people that only go to PWG or only go to bar wrestling or only go wherever. But there's like a core of these are the L.A. wrestling fans. You go to Lucha Vavoom, you maybe see one or two of them there. It's a completely different audience, a completely different product that is for somebody who would never go to a traditional kind of wrestling show. And so you combine all these aspects. And so to me, sometimes there are elements where I'll speak up and I'll say, oh, you know, we want to make sure that this is kind of more broad thinking than just a wrestling fan. But when it comes to the toys specifically, especially because not only does the Boss Fight office come from Hasbro, where they obviously know the toy market, not only are we dealing with a couple people at Boss Fight who are longtime wrestling fans and collectors, their vision for the line has just made so much sense to me, hitting all those aspects as, you know, a casual fan that doesn't normally collect. I mean, we've had a lot of people already be like, well, I guess I'm going to start collecting wrestling toys now. Like, I have fought the urge to collect and to buy and spend money on toys, but man, I need that Penta and that Phoenix. You know, so, but yeah, I completely trust where they're coming from. And if we ever came to a place where, I mean, you know, we'll have discussions back and forth about, you know, should this figure go before this figure, or what should this accessory be, or what should we call this? So, you know, there's a dialogue that exists. You know, we have, I communicate with Eric there probably on a daily basis. We have conference calls every other week just to check in across the teams. But yeah, I think so far they've been right on the money with their ideas.
So I know we're in the early stages. Wave one isn't set to come out till next summer. But is there any rumblings regarding play sets and rings?
There is. Yeah, I mean, so our deal with Boss Fight is essentially a global toy deal. So anything that they want to create in the toy, collectible, the term is not cosplay, but there's basically, I'm blanking on it.
There
is a licensing business related term that has to do with like dress up, essentially. So even like as much as like we could potentially do a toy down the road that comes with a mask or that comes with a cape or that comes with, you know, whatever. So fantasy, you know, play, whatever. Yeah. So yes, I think all of those things are possibilities for down the road. The sky is the limit, and you know, listeners of this podcast, fans, they should let Boss Fight and us know what they want and what they would support, because those things, you know, are definitely going to be taken into consideration.
Awesome. And these will be available at retail?
So I think it's too early to know that.
Okay.
They'll definitely be available on Boss Fight's website, and they will ship globally. I do know that there are a couple other big online retailers of action figures who have expressed interest, and will probably be carrying these. I think I'm not at the liberty to say right now who, but if you guys know where wrestling figures are generally sold, and which sites sell a lot of wrestling figures, you could probably figure out which ones are being talked with right now. And then I know that internationally there's talks about distribution as well. Boss Fight was just in Mexico for this Force Con, and I know that the day after the actual convention ended, they had basically a summit with retailers and talked about potential opportunities for these toys in retail establishments in Mexico. There certainly will be an attempt to put them in some stores, at least on a limited basis here. You know, it's going into retail can be a blessing and a curse. And again, this is kind of Boss Fight's domain. I can't speak for them, but I just know from like the home video side of things and my experience there, everybody wants to, you know, you think that getting to Walmart, getting to Target are how you're going to make your money. But when you actually look at, okay, well, if Walmart takes it, then we need to make 100,000 of them.
Right.
And if they don't sell, they're going to return, you know, 50,000 that we're going to be sitting on. Specifically, that's how the DVD business works. Like, you know, when Walmart places an order for DVDs, you're going to get back 50% of what they order from you. And so you have to kind of, on a business level, determine, you know, is the risk of going into a particular chain better than, you know, or worse than the reward that can come from selling in that chain. So I do think that for sure Boss Fight is going to have conversations and see if there are retail establishments that make sense. But in the end, it's their call because they're the ones that are manufacturing and distributing it.
Gotcha. And again, this question might fall under the same umbrella of quote unquote too early. But using Figures Toy Company as an example, they limit the number of figures that they put out per figure. Is there any talk of that yet with your line?
That is a much better question from Boss Fight, so I'm sorry I can't answer that. But I know for sure what we're talking about is creating, especially because it's Lucha Libre and there's so many different variants of masks and colors and different things to do, that there will be multiple versions of certain characters that come out over time. And so, yes, I think that probably lends to creating a certain number of units. And then if that quantity sells out, then it'll be, okay, well, you got to wait till the next wave comes out where there might be a different version of this character. But I can't swear to that.
Okay.
So you have mentioned the first three lines, or the first three waves, I should say.
Yes.
You don't have to name any names, no spoilers, but yeah. Has Series 4 already been discussed of what names are going to be in there?
Yeah, I think, we've certainly been talking about additional names. We've also been talking about, you know, who the first of the more basic lines going to be. Some of the decisions are going to fall in line with who else signs with us in the next, you know, while. Expo Lucha was great for us this year because it really opened a lot of people's eyes. The first year, we didn't have a lot of licensing partners at the Expo. We were really still in the process of signing licensing partners, or the products weren't ready to be shown yet. This year, you know, we had 100 luchadors, including like the Dr. Wagners and Octagons of the world, all the way down to, you know, the up-and-coming stars. And then you have your currently super hot guys now, like Laredo Kid and you know, Black Taurus and Flamita and those guys, who got to walk into this convention and be like, whoa, they've Benton and Phoenix have toys, they have this, they have that, they have life-size cardboard cutouts. Like, how do we get in on this Legends of Lucha Libre thing? Yeah. So we've got an expanding roster. We did announce right after Expo Lucha that Laredo Kid, Flamita, and Black Taurus had signed with Legends of Lucha Libre. Taya Valkyrie. That's the other thing we actually didn't talk about. In Mexico, it was also announced that there's a separate line from Boss Fight that isn't specifically luchadors, but it is a line called I Am Brilliance, which are the first, they're calling it the first action dolls for girls. So not fashion dolls like Barbie or the, and a lot of people are like, oh, the Mattel WWE girls line, it didn't work. But those were more fashion dolls. These are action dolls. And basically the idea behind this line is they're creating figures of different careers for young girls to aspire to. Doctor and, you know, veterinarian and this and that. And they came to us and they said, what do you think about putting a couple of the Legends of Lucha Libre girls into the line and, you know, having Luchadora be a career to aspire to? And I was like, that's a great idea.
Brilliant.
I
love it.
And so Taya Valkyrie and Lady Maravilla will be part of that, the launch of that line when it comes out next year as well. I think it's extra cool because you have Lady Maravilla, who is Mexican, grew up in Mexico, and her story is, you know, kind of following the traditional path of becoming a luchadora, whereas you have Taya Valkyrie, who is a Canadian, who had never spoken a word of Spanish really before she moved to Mexico and became the most popular luchadora in all of Mexico, multi-time Reina de Reinas champion in AAA now, and, you know, her journey from kind of fitness competitor and Lance Storm trainee to becoming now a doll of a luchadora is really cool.
That's incredible.
That's great. Kevin, I want to thank you for making the trek over here. It's about, what, 15 minutes away?
20? Yeah, not so bad.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
As long as the lights are still on when I leave here.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. Just be careful going over the High Street Bridge. That's mm-hmm. That's a whole nother. Anyways, I do want to thank you for making the trek over here tonight. I would love to have you back over and just continue the conversation. I would love to just continue on your backstory of wrestling. I mean, that's just, what'd you say, 25 years of?
This is 25 years.
Wow. I would love to just dive into the backstory of those 25 years. So we would love to have you back on anytime.
Yeah, well, definitely. I think as figures become available to at least preview, I'll have to come back by and show you guys some stuff before we can before they're actually released. So we'll make a plan for that.
And Kevin, I want to thank you too. And I've always mentioned that the guys that we have running, or I should say, the people that we have running the show right now with wrestling figures is pretty incredible. We've had Chris on a few times. We've talked to Bill at conventions. And you can hear the passion in their voice when they discuss the line. And you sitting here tonight, once we started getting going on the figures, your passion about putting the power behind this line and making it a real thing and making it incredible and saying that it was at least going to be on par with Mattel. I respect the passion. I love it. And you are definitely the people we want involved in making these wrestling figures happen. And just thank you. Huge thank you for being on tonight. I respect the passion and thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been wonderful, and I look forward to continuing to share our toy journey with you guys.
And also, thank you for bringing over these dots.
Yeah, we got to get to these now.
Yeah, thank you. I wish Galoob would have used something like this instead of the Ron Simmons and Butch Reed sweatpants as those shots. There's shots on these pieces of paper that actually show different outfits that Conan is in, or how do you say it? Tinieblas?
Tinieblas.
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 Scott, you got that?
I got it.
Perfect.
So we're good for that show when we start talking about them.
Yes, but I love that. I wish listeners would see this, because this is the way that wrestling figures get made. It starts with test shots, and it starts with, you know, not prototypes, but I'm forgetting the other word.
The sculpts.
And it's
the
just,
mold.
Yeah, it's kind of where it all starts, and seeing something like this is kind of good for us to see, for listeners to see eventually.
And nobody's wearing sweatpants in these pictures.
Yes, exactly. So also, again, thank you for bringing these over, man. Kevin, can you also get your plugs out of the way one more time?
You can find everything Masked Republic related first on social media. We keep it simple. We are at Masked Republic, M-A-S-K-E-D, Republic, on all platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can also follow specifically Legends of Lucha Libre, the brand that does all this licensing, at Legends of Lucha Libre on Facebook and on Instagram, at Legends of Lucha on Twitter, because you can only go that long, and MaskRepublic.com, Boss Fight Studio, the Luchaverse. You can find all that stuff on all of our social media. And yeah.
Thank you again, Kevin.
Yeah. Fully possible. Let's go. Jeff and Scott, the Toon Brothers, busting out the ring. But we don't take it out the box, M.O.C. Happy toy hunting, we'll see you next week. We're the OGs of WFP. Fully Posable, thank you all for listening. It ain't no storyline, real life siblings. So everybody go and do your toy spotting. Hashtag Fig Life, adios from the Kings.